Hello, everyone. Al Madrigal from the All Things Comedy Network. Quick message about fundraising. Thank you so much for listening to an All Things Comedy podcast that you are supporting here. We have a sticker that you can buy for $5. It says, I support All Things Comedy. If you can go to tubestart.com, we have a brief campaign going to support our new studio. No one's making money off of this. We're hoping to just have this studio support the comics and make sure they can record in a great place at no charge. And thanks to you. All right. Appreciate it. AllThingsComedy.com, TubeStart.com. Thank you very much.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us the time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Right now, currently getting in the car is Patrick Keane.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Good to see you, Karen. Nice to see you. So funny. I love everything about you. Your Facebook and everything.
That's a really good start. That's a really strong start for this podcast. I like it.
Patrick, it just seems like you were just walking along the street here. I'm so glad we were recording.
Yeah, I was just, this is 7th Street. I like to stroll down here, closer to downtown.
Well, it's funny, because we're about to do a show here at the Monty, this drunken story show. Do you want to get on it? We could call the guy.
Yeah, we have connections.
No, yeah. I'm going to do it. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, you're on the
show. I'm going to do the show tonight.
A wonderful coincidence.
That explains why you were walking along the street. I thought that you had gone back to your gigolo work.
Paramour is a term I like to use instead of gigolo.
It's more romantic.
Yeah.
I've never heard that word.
Paramour. I think it's just gigolo. I really think literally that's...
Maybe I've never heard of the word because I'm not in the business myself.
Oh, that's right. That's right. How are you? I never know downtown quadrants. Are we going southwest or
right
are we going
now
east?
We are currently, I would say, southeast.
Oh, okay. Nice, dude.
How are you?
It's good. I had a blast with you in Montana.
Oh, let's hear about it.
Karen, Patrick and I went to Montana together. Not together, separate flights, but same hotel, same comedy. It was a contest.
Yeah.
The Big Sky Festival.
Yes.
And we had fun. There's no one funnier in a van full of comics than Patrick Keane.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think everyone it's funny when there's these certain situations where you just have to be funny. It doesn't matter the kind of comic you are, the kind of writer, the kind of material you are, what your headshots look like. And Patrick Keane is the winner when it comes to...
He brings it every time.
We were laughing so hard, just tag-teaming like a comedy duo.
Well, hey, likewise, you're fantastic. Yeah, I think with those festivals, it's tough in competitions because they only get to see you once. So it's like whatever works immediately, isn't always the funniest stuff that resonates. If you've got stuff that resonates, that's not going to work in a festival.
Right.
It's stuff you have to think about.
And you have to keep in mind that you're in rural, all of Montana is rural. It being the fourth largest state with less than 1 million people. Go ahead and check that. You want to not do big city material, which Patrick and I both, we have very... metropolitan jokes.
Yeah, you're highfalutin is what I would call you as comedians.
Top hat comics, I like to call us.
Yeah.
That's true.
You're both the Mr. Peanuts of stand-up comedy. That's what I think of when I think of your stand-up.
Monocle-wearing sandwich tycoons.
It is tough in those markets.
I mean,
which is most of those.
Because you're not dumbing it down. I'm not saying they're dumb.
No, because like when I started doing the road, I started doing comedy in L.A., which isn't the best place to start, like the Marines, you know. But
it's the best place to end it, I'm discovering.
Yeah, it is. And then you go to these towns, and you're like, oh, you're still here, like you're still at this point in evolution and everything, and like stand-up comedy, you guys don't make fun of it. You know, like the process.
Right, right, which we're used to.
Right.
In our circle.
Kind of they still think it's kind of a fascinating wonder.
Oh, yeah, they still in these markets love, hey, who here is married? Who here is single? And it's like, are you kidding me?
And you kind of have to do that. And I think Patrick and I both, we kind of have our act as built around holding a mirror up to comedy working. Maybe not as much as someone like Andy Kindler or something, but I like that in my act to be like, oh, I'm eating it right now, even when I'm not.
Right.
But they actually, it will backfire there, and they're like, oh, he said he's eating it. I guess I'll stop laughing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like they don't
recognize.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy that it's almost like we went backwards after, like, what were the 90s for if they still don't get?
I guess just big blousy flannel shirts.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good fashion came out of it.
I'm so grateful for the huge holes in my knees and jeans that I wore like I was a goddamn hobo.
Right.
So, at least that. You mean in comedy.
You're right, in comedy.
Oh, sorry.
No. But what's funny is, like, you mentioned Kindler. Kindler's Letterman sets are so good.
Amazing.
Like, they're so funny.
Yeah.
It's almost like that last one he did. There was a couple jokes that were so rotten, but like in the way of Andy doing
it,
it's not even about the words anymore. It's like very meta.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing that was killing me was
children at play.
Letterman. There's just a family running across.
Just a
the
perfect silhouette, like dark. I'm in a border town.
Yeah.
And it's on a sign.
But you could hear Letterman just cackling in the background during, which you never hear. That to me, that was like the most beautiful thing in the world,
yeah,
is listening to Letterman die at Andy
it's
Kindler's
been,
set.
And I've said it since I started, it was always my goal in comedy to at some point make David Letterman laugh, and it looks like it's not going to happen unless I just go outside his cabin in Shodo, Montana, and do something silly
is
in
that
his
where it
garden.
Is? It's in Shodo?
Yeah, yeah.
Outside of Great Falls?
Right next door to a guy named Bruce Lee.
Oh, no. Wow.
Yeah.
Very
no relation. An ex-girlfriend of mine, current wife of Bill Hader, did a little documentary about homesteading in Montana, and so we went to Shodo. And she interviewed Bruce Lee because his grandmother, great-grandmother, somebody was one of these women who moved to Montana and lived off the land as a single woman.
Was she white?
Woman.
Like, is she of white descendants?
Yes, okay. Yes. And it was about the you know, just homesteading, squatting on land, earning through making it a viable farmland, earning it. It was an interesting documentary, and this guy was part of it. And next door to him was Letterman. And it was an interesting town because Letterman bought, like, a fancy gymnasium for the high school. And, like, there was buildings there that were beautiful, and it was Letterman money.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I hear that he does a ton of anonymous charity donations, and he just nobody knows it's him doing it, but he does stuff like that. Like,
you know who else does that, and it won me over on them existing, is Keanu Reeves.
Oh, wow.
Apparently is, you know, with anonymously giving huge amounts of money. Like that last Matrix movie, he gave each crew member I think $1 million. I think it was $1 million. He spent $75 million of his own money.
Is that Matrix Revolutions? That terrible.
I do not know which one because I've never enjoyed. All I had to do is during the first one see that part where he goes okie dokie, and I fucking left the theater. And then I heard everyone else really liked it. He slow motion dives, bullets hit his nose hairs, and we all loved it.
Yeah.
But I heard. I think it's because I watched that movie, and I'm realizing already I've talked too much.
No.
I watched that movie when there was a deaf person in the audience, and so they had the subtitles at the bottom, which were popping up moments before the lines were delivered.
Oh.
So the entire theater was laughing at Keanu Reeves. because at the bottom it said okie dokie, and then almost like he was reading it, he'd go okie dokie.
Oh,
and we all were laughing very hard, but we wouldn't have been laughing if we'd known how many children he put little jackets on. And
you'd
stuff
be
like
weeping
that.
Openly. Yeah. I was won over by Keanu Reeves recently when I heard the story of the second time he's had a female stalker break into his house in the middle of the night.
Wow.
He came downstairs at 4 a.m. and there was a woman sitting in a chair in his living room, just sitting there. And he had to say, okay.
Excellent.
She was like, I'm in your house. And yeah.
That is so, that's beyond.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Never stop screaming. And apparently he was like, okay, I have to call the cops now. You know that. And she was like, yep. And then
he was just really chill.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was all cool about it.
He was Mr. Cool.
Wow.
I think he might not have the option to be any different.
Because emotionally he's void in that?
Well, or whatever his reasons, yeah. I wouldn't want to say what's in another man's heart.
Oh.
I just know that there's not a lot going on.
Okie dokie and yes sirree, Bob, are just two terms.
Let that speak for him.
Patrick, why do you love Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't. Is Point Break a guilty pleasure?
No,
it's a likable movie.
I think everyone agrees that it's filled with action. And
oh, I love it.
I think a lot of times people are laughing at it, but it's a good movie.
Swayze, Busey. Busey's alive, Swayze's not, which is insane.
Yes.
Right? That's so crazy.
Very strange.
That is.
But
it's those teeth.
Yeah, it's amazing. But it's funny what you say about you want to make Letterman laugh, because for I think a lot of comics and maybe other industry and jobs of things I don't care about, it's more about, like, the high points aren't maybe being on TV, but a high point is, like Andy Kindler came up to me once at a show at whatever that Holy Fuck show on Tuesdays.
Uh-huh.
Afterwards, he's like, how come I never heard of you? That was great. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's bigger than, to me, getting on a show.
For sure.
Or, like, a Galifianakis or somebody, Todd Glass, saying that to you.
Because that's also, like, the whole, you're back in high school and you're popular all of a sudden.
Yeah.
No matter how much we pretend we don't want that, we all want that.
Well, and also because comics are the only other people that know, like you do, like what the tricks are. It's easy to fall for a comedian, like the first time you go see comedy, or if you're kind of new to it, there'll be people that you go like, that guy was amazing. But if you've been watching it for 20 years, you know every trick in the book, you know all the claptraps and all the bullshit people do. So a compliment from someone that knows all that and still likes your stuff is like really the purest, you know?
And that's what we were talking about with the Big Sky Fest, is we watch those people kind of rise to the top, and they're good comics, but they are doing not tricks, but they're just doing...
Yeah, it's like, don't try that in L.A. or New York.
Yeah, we all know why that works, but that's why I'm saying... But no one was making everyone laugh in the van like Patrick Keane.
Mr. Patrick Keane.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
Originally Toledo, Ohio. Okay. But I grew up in Orange County, California. We moved out when I was a kid.
Mm.
Talk about where you went to college.
And I went to college in Helena, Montana, the capital.
Capital of the state I'm from.
Yes. Carroll College. That's why it was a little disappointing not to go further in that festival, too. Because I'm like, well, I went to college here. I should have a jump on people, but it's comedy, you know, and it just doesn't have mercy.
There's no way.
Yeah, man.
There's
so,
just no way.
I went there to play college football. They gave me a scholarship.
Really?
Yeah.
What position?
I was a tight end.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, insert joke here.
I think in your asshole. That's your only choice.
Insert the joke. Forcefully at times.
He's asking you to.
Depending on where you're from, if you're a power bottom or a leather daddy.
Or an otter.
Patrick, you're an athlete then.
I stay in shape a little bit, as much as I can, but I think I took this body as far as it would go. You know what I'm saying? My dad had higher expectations. He was a big guy. He was an athlete. And he married kind of an art drunk, like a artsy little girl who likes musicals.
Art drunk?
And so I have some of that body.
Oh, right.
Instead of like, you know, elitist, whatever, German... I don't know.
Yeah, no. If,
he should
if you
have
read
up if he wanted you to succeed that
right.
way.
You only want a fraction of elitist German flowing through you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insert joke there. What happened with football then?
I hurt my knee and I was done with it pretty quick. And I tried to rehabilitate for a couple years and work it. And it just wasn't like, you know, it was still in my head that it was injured. And so I wasn't going full speed, and I'm like, what am I doing? This is like a Division II school. I'm not going pro. and I'm now 2 years I haven't been playing and rehabbing, and I'm still not sure. And I was like, let's wrap this up. You know?
So you did like Jackson, Bo Jackson, you just gracefully...
just kind of slowly excuse myself. Yeah.
I think that Bo Jackson fully recovered and then realized he wasn't as fast, and he's like, you know what, maybe I'm good enough to pass, but...
If it can't be full speed.
To be passable, I mean, not good enough to become the quarterback.
or to pass his wife.
Yeah. Then make a pass at you.
He could do that stuff. But yeah, it's the same thing, I think.
Yeah.
If you can't do it the full out.
So you Bo Jacksoned from football
into comedy? I Bo Jacksoned the hell
out,
yeah. And then, I always wrote, like, in college, I wrote, this would be a funny scene for a movie. This would be a funny scene. This would be a funny scene. Because I never loved, like, exclusive stand-ups. I like people like Bill Murray, Gene Wilder, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Performers.
So L.A. was kind of the place instead of exclusive stand-up in New York. Now you're just trying to bring shape to it.
Right.
You know, and it's just so chaotic right now. It's like, what do you want to do? You know, be on network television? Do you want to go out on auditions? Do you want to just do stand-up? Because now there's these podcasts, there's VH1 shows, there's shows like, as an example, a Chelsea Handler show where you're a panelist. So there's all these different avenues. And so there's no right or wrong way to go.
I think you're doing it right.
I'm
glad that you just got hooked on stand-up.
Yeah, it's fun. When it works, it's the best in performing in big cities. I've watched three times now. I've watched Pepitone's special on Netflix. And it's like, oh, this is what it's about. Mm-hmm. This is what it's like to enjoy. Because you just see so much manufactured crap. And no offense to a lot of those guys, but I'm scrolling through their specials on Netflix. Because I'm like, yeah, no, you kind of know. And then Pepitone's, though, really bounces, man.
Well, I need to see it. It's great. But it's also
that
it's like that kind of thing of these days it feels like, with the kind of UCBification of comedy and of performing.
Good work
people,
with that one.
Right? That's mine, copyright, trademark.
Can I use that? Are you
it's mine.
No.
But... Everyone can do it. It's a thing that isn't this mysterious, distant thing anymore.
Yeah.
So since everyone can do it, it really takes a lot to stand out from the from not average, because there's some great comics writing good material, but having the performance element, and like with Eddie's thing, it's just that electric. You know, it's just really happening right there, and he's really talking about the stuff he's screaming about is not a character or a bit. He's really afraid of the end of civilization.
Yes.
He's really afraid that the world is ending, that we're all going to murder each other.
Yes.
The sea is poison. That's all real. And everyone else feels the same way. And so to see a guy screaming about it, like, on your behalf,
right,
for me is just a huge relief. It's like, that's what I want to do all day long.
Oh, yeah. It's so liberal. Like, I would love it. If my dad were to ever see him, he would love, you know? Like,
yeah.
He's just, like, multi-generational and I don't know. You try not to be a snob about comedy, but it's got to be funny, you know, and it's not just hopefully a popularity contest. I think comedy and funny have become two different things right now.
Yes.
Yeah, like popular comedy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what is this karaoke element?
Yes, it's a real, because it's such a business.
Yeah.
Love it if one day there was comedy karaoke where you just pick your favorite comic and you mouth the words and just sit in a chair like Bill Cosby would have done.
Oh, God. Well, Odenkirk just had that interview. Did you see that?
I saw the title of it, and I didn't want to get bummed out because I don't want someone to tell me to quit doing comedy and hear some grim side of it.
Yeah.
What would he say?
It's titled, I think it's titled differently. It's titled, like, Get Out of Comedy Because It's About to Crumble or something like that.
Yeah, I didn't want
to really
read
it's
that.
But really, it's more about, it's just in a different direction, I think. And, like, for me and I don't know, maybe a lot of comics feel that, like, you'll get funnier stuff out of a Breaking Bad, you know, or show than you will out of a
so
comedy.
So he's saying don't do stand-up anymore, get a starring role in a AMC drama?
Well, that's part of it, if you can. You know,
yeah.
Why not just sell one of your scripts, guys?
I never thought of that.
Sell one of your screenplays.
I never thought that I should just get a lead role in
something.
Just
be highly successful. Yeah. That's better than comedy. Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, duly noted.
That's a good plan.
I got to pick up the phone.
But there's, I don't know. I think a lot of comedy people don't necessarily watch comedies. I for one, watch a lot more movies.
Yeah.
You know, than I do straight stand-up. And part of it might be jealousy about, you know, your own career.
Yes, absolutely.
But
Well, and also, do you ever have that thing, like, I feel like I watch less stand-up because I don't want to get, I don't want to later on write a bit that I think is amazing and it just turns out to be someone else's bit that I've watched.
That's
definitely done that before.
Yeah.
And you don't want to trust one of those people that watch too much stand-up where it's like, dude, you're kind of weirding me out. Like, you like this too much.
Yeah.
The experts. That's the big thing.
There's so many names that are in my head right now, but we don't have that kind of podcast where we talk smack.
But it really is.
Even some of my good friends, it's just, oh, you study this.
Yeah.
And do it. You can't be both. You can't be a fan and do it.
Well, also, just a lot of people can't do it. Like, there's a difference between doing it and then actually being good at it or being worth watching.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference is a lot of people kind of don't. Well, we don't have to think about that part. You just do what you're trying to do. But at the end of the day, I think there's only if there's 100% of comics, 20% are actually really good.
Yeah.
And 80% are the other people that are on the show.
I think that's generous.
And these clubs that you go around the country and these clubs push their locals and it's like, okay, they're okay for this market, but don't, you know, I wouldn't move to LA just yet.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
You're going to get eaten alive.
Yeah, something's going to happen. You're going to get a parking ticket, really. That's what getting eaten alive here is. Yeah. Parking in a red.
Oh, the anxiety you get in this town from parking. Like, you'll wake up on the road and, like, where's my car right now? Like, where is it?
Yeah.
You know, you're gone for a week or two.
You're already in the fetal position. Then you look across the street and be like, oh, yeah, I did take that second spot. I hope no one saw me. My neighbors saw me crying.
Oh,
I was driving on some bald wheels for a while. My tires were, you could literally see the threading underneath the rubber. They had split.
I was doing that three podcasts ago in our studio.
And it's, I just didn't realize how much I drive until my life was on the line every time I got into my car.
Right.
It was like, oh, this is a lot of anxiety.
Well, right now we're rolling smoothly, and I think that you all attest to the fact that there isn't a lot of noise coming from these beautiful Kumho tires.
Oh, you got Kumhos.
Kumho.
Cujo?
So, do you need a ride? Brought to you by Kumho.
Cujo.
Or Kumho. God,
Cujo
I should have learned it before we recorded this. Also, by Lyft and Uber, we are sponsored. Back to the program.
Those are very great. Lyft and Uber are fantastic.
I mean, yeah,
right?
To get both of them, we were very happy.
It's funny. People try to fight. It's like, what are you fighting? You're fighting progress. You're fighting something that everybody likes.
Yeah.
You're like, that's so anti-Christ.
You're talking about taxi drivers, right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like Lyft and Uber?
Yeah.
Except for taxi drivers.
Well, they really had taxi drivers had a lot of power for a long time, and it's good that they got it taken away.
Yeah. Time to get knocked down a peg.
Yeah.
Like in L.A.
Jake Steinfeld from D.C. Cab.
Oh,
you're the only one here who wants to be a cab driver. That's right. That was an amazing cast, that movie.
Mr. T.
Bill Maher was in that.
Oh, God.
I watched that. Remember when Nickelodeon used to be a movie channel when cable first came out?
No, really?
Yeah.
I just remember it being, you can't do that on television,
yeah,
and that's
that
it.
Show. Yeah.
In the very early days, I believe, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was a movie channel, and it was always Silver Streak. It was always Wilder Pryor movies.
Oh.
And DC Cab. I think
You're
I
right.
watched DC Cab 20 times when I was a kid.
Well, I can't remember where it was, but God, there was a network.
It's tough to be a man, baby. Paul Rodriguez.
Senior.
I gotta rewatch that now.
Not to be confused with P-Rod, his son, who is a professional skateboarder with
his
own Nike shoe, who earns more money than P-Rod Senior ever earned. Yeah.
Wow.
Just
That's
a
amazing.
Little side note for you guys.
Good.
If you get a shoe as a skateboarder, you have many cars and houses. So
I should have brought. I was just in Jackson Hole. I should have brought you a ski DVD. My brother-in-law works. He produces films. Teton. Gravity Research. They do these ski films.
I know that.
Yeah,
really?
Don't tell Chris about Teton Gravity Research.
Do not get off my ass, Keen. Really? That's
yeah. Because I have an extra copy. He gave me a couple copies, and I gave one to Leah, the girl we were with in Montana, and then I was going to give one to whoever else, and I didn't even think to bring it.
Where's your house? Let's go.
It's on the west side.
That's where I live.
But
we're neighbors. We should hang out more.
Yeah, we should. It's the West Side's a weird thing if you're not, in L.A. because it's just it's kind of far away from Hollywood and the Valley and a lot of gigs.
Yeah.
It's far away from everything.
Yeah, it's very isolated.
It is.
But then you get to wear a lot of seersucker suits.
Mm-hmm. That's
and you
true.
Walk barefoot everywhere,
yeah.
right?
That's
yeah,
right.
I mean,
so there are benefits.
I go more southern playwright, but yeah, either way, you're wearing a free-flowing suit.
A straw hat. You're drunk on gin.
Oh, God.
It's the important stuff.
I'm going to do this.
Well, the tax cab drivers, they always claim, yeah, I don't have a credit card. I can't take
yeah.
credit. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
it's
try and say that now.
2014.
I'm
going to
pay you with my phone using a satellite.
Yeah.
Welcome to 2014.
Where not giving you a tip can be an anonymous situation. Take it.
I like the cab drivers used to, because L.A. is such a bad place for cab drivers, but they also
anyone
often...
want to go to McDonald's? Sorry.
None for me.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay. Well, I was just going to say they always need you to tell them directions.
Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Like, they're like, well, where is that? And it's like, but you're a cab
right.
driver.
Right. You're literally offering no service right now.
Except for the driving part, but come on.
So, yeah, it's good. In a city like L.A., Uber is just conquering.
But I do. That's do you best. Like living on the West Side?
You know... here and there like
I like waking up there.
Yeah,
the ocean's there,
people
yeah.
are happy, nobody works, I don't
yeah.
think everybody's in flip-flops,
they're all independently barefoot. Wealthy and wearing flip-flops,
yeah, and it's just I feel like I should be working hard, like I'm like I don't deserve this, I haven't worked hard enough, I haven't achieved like these people, it's, well not that they have either, but
you don't have flip-flops,
I don't
yeah,
I have some rainbows
flip-flops.
Yeah.
And a male pedicure,
it is great, it keeps you healthy because you're just like wow I have to compete, I mean, people are so healthy out here.
Yeah.
Or you drown. But I lived in Los Feliz for years. I love that part of town. That's kind of my favorite.
Yeah, it would be nice and convenient.
Yeah.
Do you like where you live, Karen?
I do. I used to
it's
live in...
It's a beautiful neighborhood. She lives in an actual neighborhood in a real house.
Oh, real. Like
yeah.
civilian.
I live in Burbank where everyone's grandma lives. And it's great. And I used to live in Silver Lake by Los Feliz.
Sure.
And I moved there because I thought it would be cool and hip. And those helicopters, every night there was helicopters and the light in my backyard, and it made me crazy. I was so paranoid and scared all the time. It was just, it's such a, I just really prefer the Valley.
Yeah. No, it's, and you can hit Hollywood for shows or whatever, meetings.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing.
Yeah, you're in a very convenient place, Karen.
Although I really
you're in a good place.
I'm in a good place with
I'm
it.
I'm talking spiritually.
But I do like the West Side for, the positive ions. Oh, come on.
It
man.
Might be her last bad decision, but there's clearly been many before that.
Just
wandering in the street haphazardly. Also, could she have looked more like Mr. Magoo?
She looks like a Chinese ghost.
Oh, a Chinese ghost. Specifics.
Oh, the racial specifics.
The racial specifics.
It's the neighborhood for it. James Woods Boulevard, named after the popular asshole actor.
I saw him on 9/11.
Did
really?
I saw him in a bookstore on 9/11 in Beverly Hills. It was crazy.
Wow.
It was the weirdest set of circumstances.
Were you like, oh, this is someday to be reading, you callous son of a...
He's looking at a book of how to handle huge shit.
Yeah, but Patrick was just looking at a magazine. His heart was still on the...
right, still on the incident.
Yeah, the incident.
Of the day, yeah.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
God,
yeah.
Let's dive in. Let's talk about 9/11.
Yeah, let's get in there.
And then he would eventually, I think, play Giuliani in something, and I was like, oh, this is weird. He's playing
that's funny.
Something that's really relatable.
Yeah, it's funny that I know that you didn't care about that day. You were elbows deep in A Tale of My Two Cities. Tale of My Two Cities. It's a combination of the classic novel and the TV show My Two Dads.
That girl was hot. She would later go on to be in that show with Chrissy from Three's Company, Step by Step.
Oh,
and
Step
Patrick
by Step.
Duffy.
Didn't we talk about Step by Step the other day?
We couldn't figure out which one
girls.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
We just went straight to Seventh Heaven.
Oh, yeah. That's that guy, huh?
Yeah. Hey, he's getting off, apparently.
Is he getting off?
Put the insert joke. Apparently, statute of limitations.
You know, he was in the first Star Wars movie. Did you know that? It was kind of a flop.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't go well.
Oh,
but he was in
called OU812 or something, right? Didn't it have some? It was, wasn't it? His like student film.
What? Oh,
Star Trek the movie.
No.
Well, they made Wrath of Khan was a sequel and it was fantastic.
Oh, I see Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like someone's grandpa, except I haven't even fucking... So I'm like older than a grandpa if I confuse Star Trek and Star...
You were Van Halen the THX movie that George Lucas made where they're just in the white void.
Yes, right. With Duvall. Yeah,
that's
that was gnarly.
I saw that when I was like 7.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was on TV one night and I was alone in the TV room and I had a serious, serious breakdown.
Yeah, dude, at 7, you shouldn't even see that at 17. You know?
No,
that's
it was a lot.
Or who knows what.
That and Duel, the movie where the guy's being chased by
the
semi. Me and my Uncle Steve watched Duel one day, and I was probably 6, and I was just like, and there was just no way I was going to ask to turn the channel. This was in the 70s when adults did whatever the fuck they wanted, and kids had no say in anything.
Oh, God.
And so I got exposed to a lot of great filmmakers at an early age.
I can't believe.
In the peak time.
One of the cassette... VHS tapes that we had in my movie collection when I was a kid was Clockwork Orange, and I watched it at a very young age.
Did you really?
Yeah, and at the time I knew I shouldn't be watching this, and I would turn it off after one of the many. There's like rape scenes, full-on rape scenes in it.
Yeah.
And I was watching that as a kid, and I'm like, well, that girl's naked, but I really don't like what's. I think it was good that I saw it because it made me realize right away. That even if the law isn't telling me, rape is probably bad.
Yeah.
I decided that on my own.
There's a gut feeling that goes along with it that you can either acknowledge.
Yeah. It's true, though. I'm giving myself that credit.
Yeah, good.
But kids these days, I mean, I'm sure my nephew has seen unspeakable porn. I always think about that. It's right there at his fingertips.
Yeah.
He's always on the computer. You know he's seen it.
Like, don't they have locks or parental?
Yeah, I'm sure my sister's on that. I don't mean to. I wonder if I apologize. I know my sister. She would make sure he doesn't see that stuff.
I mean,
I had from a Spiegel catalog a page of bras, just pictures of bras.
I do like that.
Breasts.
I like Victoria's Secret better than a Playboy.
As a kid, I've had that folded up and in my underwear drawer.
Did you really?
In an envelope taped to the roof of my underwear. And when my parents left the house and I knew they were at least a mile away, I would pull that out and look at it. And I'm not going to go into detail after
that. That's fantastic.
But I found myself as a man, Karen.
This is none of my business.
I walked in on myself. There's a mirror, a full-length mirror.
Oh, God.
But yours was Victoria's Secret?
To this day, I like a little bit to be desired. You know,
a little hidden?
Yeah,
sure.
yeah, lingerie and...
That's wholesome.
I've seen some things on Tumblr that I'll never be able to unsee. Because it all gets mixed together. Like, you're following someone's Tumblr because you're like, oh, look, they like stripes. Or they like whatever. And then suddenly some... insane porn gif comes up where you're like, oh God, is that a child? Like, it's so upsetting.
Why is that lady having sex with a dragon? Because that's computer animated, some of it.
Just as upsetting.
What's her name was hot? Jessica from Roger Rabbit.
Sexy. Oh, yeah. You used to be a bit of a toon man. Oh, I see.
Oh, it's all clear now.
Yeah, animated tang is just where it's at.
Color me not surprised. Animated tang.
I like the idea that you said that, like, you know who I was into? Like, she wasn't specifically drawn to be the hottest thing on the planet.
You know,
this is going to surprise everybody.
It's my little niche.
I really have a crush on Scarlett Johansson.
Turns out I like cartoonish tits and ass and little to nothing to say.
Smurfette was cute, too, because her voice was kind of worn out. You know? I like that. Like Bonnie Tyler thing.
Yes, she was haggard.
Yeah.
She was a haggard Smurf.
Oh, God. Imagine just getting knocked around, though, by all... There's a village of dudes.
99 other Smurfs.
That's where her voice
Papa
is so scratchy.
Papa Smurf, I always say, my name's Brainy. Oh, shut up. And then they kick him, and then she just... And then there's a big...
Well, that's a whole communist thing, because Brainy was... Nobody liked him, because he was the intellectual... And, you know, they were all, like, Handy Smurf was seen as the hero.
Oh, wow.
And it's a whole villain. And they all look the same. Papa Smurf has the only colored hat.
Wow. Did you just make this up?
No, I studied it for a while. I mean, not studied it, but just kind of observed. And
after you got out of football?
Right, after I moved on.
Oh, you at Carroll College took Smurfology? course.
I tried to watch the Smurf movie on Blu-ray, and I couldn't see a thing, you guys.
I like it.
Guys.
Just says that stuff, Karen.
Yeah, he just has it in his back pocket.
You need to have these guys, these things.
I think that it's obvious that I'm kind of lost, but I do think that if I turn left here, we will be headed to the Monty.
I think we're below that now. Because we want to get back up to 7.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My apologies.
No.
LA is so spread out. It's like 3 different cities. It's just amazing. It's...
We're headed to do a Drunken Tales show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Going to do stand-up, Patrick? Or are you going to...
I might open with some stand-up, but I do want to stay on theme.
Oh, that's what I was going to do.
But I have got a story, and I like stories read and not performed so much.
Oh, you wrote something out?
Yeah, I have something that I'll read.
No, I love... Have you been to this show yet, Karen?
No. I've been to a show at that bar, but not this one.
Watching Mike do, and he does that. He writes it out. He's a great writer, and the way he delivers it, and he's just reading it, it's interesting to see that compared to his stand-up or compared to anyone doing stand-up. So I'm excited to watch you do that.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it is fun to see someone in a different light. And
no, good, don't worry, he doesn't provide a light. It's just dimly, I don't know, maybe he got
dark.
A spotlight. There's me razzing him a little bit. That's now, a full moon.
Are you going to be wearing readers down near the end of your nose?
They will be down there.
Okay.
Down there, but I'll be not looking through them, obviously, that down the end of the nose.
No, no.
Out over the top.
Yeah, out over the
top. Aesthetic readers.
Great.
So it's that great. Starting
to get
great.
Cool. That biker was doing that thing where he's not going forward or backwards and not tipping over. Get out of here.
Uh-oh.
I know. Here we go again. You're a fantastic artist, by the way, Chris. I've seen some of your stuff.
Isn't he good?
Oh, it's so great. Yeah.
Thanks,
such a creative, you know.
Thanks. Thanks, you guys.
Guys, thanks.
My brakes are wearing out. Is anyone noticing that? I think it's metal on metal at this point. Yeah.
I mean, do people think we're insane when they look into the car and they see 3 microphones?
Always.
It's so
well,
awesome.
Speaking of bikes, what happened? Some guy tried to knock off Karen's
We yelled stuff out the window at him.
I guess I did.
But it was for fun because he was...
We get it.
It was just a joke of, like, you've got a fixed gear bicycle, you're so cool. But this man was actually totally insane.
Yeah.
And we only realized that after we started yelling at him, and he looped back around and then swung his bike lock and tried to hit the car.
Almost got hit by cars in traffic. Like, he almost...
So he was willing to do that off words.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Silly
yeah.
words. Not even threading.
We saw that. And then we saw, after we calmed down, we saw a horrible... fist fight at a bus stop and some guy got knocked out. Here I am again talking about past episodes. That must be insulting.
No, you know, I love it.
Those were our 2 most upsetting, but maybe we can get a new one tonight.
Yeah, all I'm saying, Patrick, is come on, we could use another podcast fight. Mix it up. Roll down the window.
We can do it.
Karen, say one of your racist things.
Goddamn Filipinos.
Just the correct pronunciation of where you're from or you're Laotian. I'm sorry, I'm insensitive.
Funny, the Asian community is one. This comedian Robert Tran has a great joke where he talks about Asians are the one race people are racist towards in front of them, and they don't even mind. Like, they don't mind being racist to Asians right in front of their face. Like, every other race, it's like, oh, sure, here comes. But with Asians, he said, it's like, we're the one race we get made fun of in front of us.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's true.
It is kind of lame, huh?
Yeah, I think hopefully we're changing. I don't know, as we drive through Koreatown.
Maybe it's I think we should all be more. I'm going to make an effort to not, and I'm not known to make Asian race material. Am I, Karen? What have you heard?
That's how I got to know you.
Damn
before
it,
we
you're
met.
You're right. We went to that racist joke Tellers Anonymous meeting.
Where is that? Is that in Orange County?
Idaho, right.
Hayden Lake area.
Yeah.
Oh, they do a lot of interesting things.
I lived over there for a few years. I lived in Japan for 2 years and Korea for 1.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I forgot you were a Marine. What are you talking about?
In college it was an exchange program. When I finished football, I signed on to go to Japan for an exchange program. And I stayed for 2 years because nobody else from Montana knew where Japan was or wanted to go.
Ooh, hey, easy now. I was
That's
from there.
That's racist against Montanans.
I'm from, I am, I'm pure, oh, wait, I was born here. Carry on.
Yeah, and then it was great. I was there 2 years and learned a little of the language, but you end up teaching part-time,
well,
making great money,
Patrick,
and having a great time.
I think it would be ridiculous of us to not request a little bit of Japanese from you.
Yes, please.
Oh, of Nihongo? Nihongo kikitai desu ka?
No, actually, I don't. It's a wristwatch. Did I do it right?
Perfect.
Okay, thank you.
Jozu desu, Kuri-chan.
What is... Chinmi bang bang. I don't know. That's
no,
something.
It's a tough language, obviously. I mean, coming off. Like,
so since I don't know it, I can't just riff it.
I think you could.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Just
that
throw
I can.
Some phrases together. But,
wait, was that Mandarin?
That was Japanese.
Oh, that was Japanese.
So that was different than Mandarin or Cantonese Chinese.
Those are
but it's
Chinese.
The same writing. Like it's the same.
Kanji.
Characters?
Kanji, yeah.
Thank
kanji,
you.
Yeah.
I came in with, yeah, well, you know.
Okay.
Daddy's been around the block a few times, and so actually I learned what kanji is
it's
right,
good.
Right in front
you,
of my house.
It's tough for Western women to go to Japan. For a Western man, it's great. The women are into you, but a lot of Western women that go there, European, American, Australian, it's a little tougher because...
we're too huge.
That's what it's like. It's hard. You get a complex about shopping for clothes. It's like, oh my god, nothing fits. And it's like, well, these people are very small with no body fat. Don't take it as a complex. But it's hard when you're the only one.
Oh, I can go over there because I have that already.
Oh, you do? Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. Yeah,
that's
no,
fine.
You'll love it. And
I'll go in my caftans.
Absolutely.
Would I feel comfortable? And this isn't a joke because I already said I wasn't going to make those kind of jokes. But would I feel comfortable buying a pair of underwear there?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
The boxers are tiny.
Oh, okay.
They're tiny. I bought a couple pair, and
that wasn't a.
Sorry,
I'm
that
just.
A weird answer?
It was a joke about me having a big giant hog.
Oh.
Yeah, but you
come
said
on,
it
you
wasn't.
Guys.
I mean, you really stated
no,
that it
that,
wasn't.
But
and
that's
then...
me. I'm the one that has to live with this big dick. Okay. Do you think
how
it's
are you
easy?
Steering? Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
How do I jump rope? Is that what you were going to ask next? I don't. I don't skip rope, Patrick.
And you never learned to read.
I never learned to read or write. Oh, tell me about the rabbits again, George. All right, here we go. Oh, no, I did learn to read or write. It's funny because now that don't dip your pen in the company ink joke really seems funny to me. My dad always said, don't stick your dick in the cash register.
Is that, well, that's, is that literal or figurative?
No, he just said, if you get a job as a cash register operator, do not slam your dick in it. Go ahead and make love to someone at work, though.
God, you know.
I can edit out. I'm going to edit out certain
it
things.
It is tough to resist a cash register.
Hey, you know I like money.
They all look like Jessica Rabbit to you.
I like money and the sound of bells. Let's get it slamming.
It's tough as a white woman. In Asia, because I don't, like, Asian men, I think, are a little bit maybe feminine. Like, there's not as much body hair, and so it's kind of tougher for them. A lot of Western women don't find Asian men as attractive as Western men find Asian men.
Well, they aren't looking at their calves, because Asian men have beautiful calf
yes.
muscles.
Yes. Oh, yeah, and they only have to shave, you know, once a week or something.
I
know?
Like a Korean man.
Do you? Okay.
Because they have the beauty, the beautiful skin and hairlessness of an general Asian.
Right.
But then oftentimes they're bigger and beefier, right?
Yes. Yeah, because it's a hard peninsula. It's hard country.
Yeah. They can lift things and make a tent out of calf skin.
They can lift things.
Unlike their Chinese compatriots.
It's a hard, bitter piece, the two Koreas, so they're tough.
I've
yes,
never
that's
been
right.
with an Asian woman.
Have well, you not? Do you remember when I tried to set you up with it was a double date we would have gone on?
I do remember that
do you know
years
that?
Ago.
That was a long time ago.
With yeah. two Asian girls?
No, it was one was a was black from France of all places.
I didn't say no because of
No, you did not
oh,
say
okay,
no. You said ahead. You were busy. And then her friend was Asian, but they were both models. It was crazy.
Really?
Yeah, but you couldn't.
Why?
You,
what?
You, no, you were.
Maybe I had a girlfriend.
Or you might have had a girlfriend,
yeah.
But you couldn't do it. And I remember thinking, I don't know another comic I can go to because you were, like, you're a fun guy, you're good looking, you can work with both comics and civilians.
I remember you bringing that up.
Yeah.
You said, hey, have you ever wanted to get a Pacific Rim job?
Yes, did I say
that? I don't know. It's just a dumb joke that I thought. Karen, quit doing
the
podcast.
Is the heater on? I don't know what you're doing.
It's getting warmer, or the topic is getting...
Sorry.
Chris is just going crazy.
You guys, I'm sorry. The heat was on because I was trying to defog the window.
Your penis is taking up so much space.
I'm sorry. It is the heat. Usually... Let's talk about something else.
Well, I just like the idea. Where did you meet two models?
Well, I met her at a club. It was funny because we were, I was with one of my friends who has money, and he had to leave, but he's just like, keep the booth. He's like, I'm out of here. Keep the booth. Here's some bottles of vodka. And it was, and this girl comes up, and she's like, oh, can I sit and have some drinks? And I was like, yeah, of course. We're not going to finish all this vodka, and we can't take it with us. And she immediately assumes that I caused that night.
Oh.
You know, I wanted to tell her right there, look, I'm not this cool. You need to know.
Oh,
I do not roll like this all the time.
But right. Somehow it just didn't come out of your mouth?
Yeah, I just held it in for a few
because
days.
Because other topics came up.
Right. Yeah. She grabbed my phone, put her number in it right away. And I was like, okay, this is
I hate that when you want to be truthful with someone, but it's too late.
It's
they're
too
already
late.
Putting their number into your phone.
Oh, that was fantastic. And then we went on a couple dates. And then she's like, oh, do you have I want to go out with my friend... And, like, you were basically it. And then after you, it was like, I'll go to some other civilians, I guess. But she wanted to hang out with a comic because we had such a good time. So she wanted her friend to hang out with a comic.
God, if I had a time machine, Patrick, sounds like the funnest
time. We wouldn't have come back.
Come back from where?
Where would we have gone? Why would we not come back?
We would have gone to the present. But right now, it would have seemed like we were going back in time.
Right.
That's how time machines really work.
We would have spent all our money. But it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, but it's about more than just what's on the outside, which is why we do this inside the car.
Patrick, I remember one of the nights at the Big Sky Comedy Festival. You had had some drinks, and as did I. You have probably drinking stories prepared for tonight, right?
Yeah, they made us do our set, and then they made us
already,
do.
We already talked about.
Oh, did you?
What? I'm sorry, you already wrote. Right now, there is a jackknife trailer in the road. I know you can tell by the urgency in my voice. I wonder what he wants me to do.
I do too.
Think he wants me to do this.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Hi, thank you. Thank you. You're very nice.
He sees a car with three microphones.
Are you guys scared of truckers?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
They see things from that perched up position.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought you watched Duel, Karen.
Yeah, that's why I'm not afraid.
Oh, because...
As a child, I faced the fear.
That was like a... Wasn't in that movie just... It was a magic semi-truck that didn't really have a driver? Or you never see him?
You never see him.
Oh, that's...
You see his boots, I think, or him walking.
Yeah, it's just
that's
kind of...
That's a Spielberg joint.
Yeah, it's like one of his first movies.
God. What did he do after that?
Jaws.
Oh, that's right. And then... From there, we never heard from him.
Then he just faded into oblivion.
Did you see? Did you ever watch Jiminy Glick?
Oh yes.
Oh God. And the Spielberg interview is so.
No,
funny.
I want to see it.
Oh, I don't think I saw the Spielberg one.
Oh, it's Jiminy Glick. It's Martin Short as a chubby.
Sure, I know
Jiminy
Glick.
And he's interviewing Spielberg, and he's just like, "When are you going to make the big one?"
I swear to God, the shit he did on that. He said stuff, and you could tell he was riffing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's somewhere you're just like, you know this came to him.
I don't think that I knew he was a genius until that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Inner Space.
Yep. Three Amigos.
How could you not?
And Three Amigos, yeah, but he was always just this guy that was in things that I had gotten used to, and then all of a sudden... He became my hero with that character.
It's
just
because he captures a chubby character, you know, and it's like, how do you know what a chubby perspective is?
Yeah.
And he captures, like, he's eating donuts. He sneaks away to the craft service table during the interview, and the camera's on him, so it can see him, like, sliding down the couch across the carpet over to the donut stand.
Yeah, I think that it was the combination of him looking the way he did, but his physical comedy, it was just, I don't even know if that could be planned. That cop just ran a red light. Should we report
it? They do that all the
time. Citizen's arrest, perhaps?
Yeah, but there was a family.
But there's a police station right here. So we wouldn't have far to go if we he's just wrapping
yeah,
around.
Yeah, he really
meet us up there.
He's just doing a joyride.
And then Michael McKean is his co-host in that. It's brilliant. You wonder what those guys think of comedy now, like Steve Martin's and those guys and
follow Michael McKean on Twitter?
Yes, he's
so
great.
Good.
He's so great.
I would like to think that, because it seems like Martin Short is pretty hip. I bet there's stand-ups that are new that he's listening to.
That he would
to,
like.
Right?
Okay.
I mean,
well, he's on Mulaney's show.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
That'll lend it so much. That's so great that they have a legend. Who's the other legend they have on that? They have two Oh, is it Arkin? No, Ellie Gould.
Ellie Gould. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so that's huge. And fun. I bet it's fun for those guys to mix that up.
Oh my God.
The Sullivan Son and Show has that Brian Doyle Murray on it.
Yeah.
Which would be fun to have a legend like that.
Yeah, he's been in so many things.
Yeah, he
Should
was
I
Jack
take
Ruby.
A right or left here?
Well, I think 7th is below this.
Oh, okay. God, what is wrong with me?
Well, we've just been... It's hard because we've been going in circles.
Yeah, I'm not... It's Patrick. I'm not very good at driving and talking and navigating.
Well, you're a male, and we can't...
That's true. We've talked about that. Multitask. Yeah.
See?
You had one job there, and you fucked it up.
Yeah. That's why women are such good, I think, improv sketch and casting directors. Because they have sensibility. They take it in.
Right.
And males tend to do more of the stand-up.
Just get distracted and start to fall asleep or just look down at their crotch.
Right. Dig a hole. Push that sled.
Hey, I'm no man-hater. I'm not going to go down that road.
Did you say push that sled? Yeah. Santa Claus?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why a woman would need a man to push a sleigh or a sled.
I just need to find a man to get me a sleigh. That's all I'm looking for.
I just need a man who appreciates Christmas like me.
Were there huskies in the movie Cliffhanger? Did he ever have to, like, mush, or not really?
No.
There were mountains.
Not that I remember.
Are you talking about... Stallone's Cliffhanger?
Yes.
Never.
Sylvester, not Frank.
Oh, you
not?
Should see
Never
it.
Oh, it's great.
The opening scene alone.
Oh, they won an Academy Award for cinematography.
Well, now I know why they call it, but you guys just talking about it, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Oh, it's amazing. It's
should
really
we great. Go to the Monty and do this show that starts
we
in
should.
2 minutes?
Sure.
Let's do it. I'm going to find a parking place in this bullet target of a neighborhood, and I found... No, that's...
Shit.
No.
Is it?
Is it?
I don't know.
Yes,
someone,
it is.
It is, and
it
I'm
is.
Gonna fucking get it.
I feel like Stan's at the hospital.
That's way up there. You know it, girl. Take a left.
Keep your fingers on home keys.
That's right. G, H, Z, and L. Okay, I never took typewriting. Because they didn't call it that. I think they called it keyboarding. But then it got replaced by the popularity of kneeboarding. Okay, I was extra controlling and riffy during this episode. I know we all had fun, but
thanks for having me.
No apologies. Patrick
See how
Keane.
Much fun he is to be.
He's great.
I'm sorry.
I love you guys.
No, Patrick Keane, everybody.
Patrick Keane. We need to. I feel like we should go on a road trip, Patrick Keane.
Yeah,
100%.
In this podcast.
Game on.
The first thing that comes to mind, which I regret thinking of, is Burning Man. Let's go somewhere that would really...
We established at the beginning of this, it's the first idea we come up with.
Oh, shit.
Burning Man it is.
Burning Man, okay.
Okay, can we make that plan?
Yeah, what time of year is that? April?
Oh, you have some gigs?
Does it rotate? I don't know.
I think it's summertime.
One of the stage rotates. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride with Patrick Keane. Patrick, do you have anything to plug?
I think just the Twitter, @Twitter, or just look Twitter @Patrick Keane, @CitizenKeane.
Oh, Citizen Keane.
Yeah, it's kind
I
of
I recently
cute.
Retweeted your tweet, remember when comedy
was
funny?
Yeah, oh, God, I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, nothing's funny anymore, but sometimes it feels.
Someone has to be that guy.
Yeah, just to mention it every once in a while.
I'd like to remind people with my comedy that that's the case.
Yes, that's how I do it.
No, we're all funny and we're all going to have a show right now. And up next, you'll hear a little bit of the comedy of Patrick Keane. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride?
DYNAR!
Everybody give it up for Patrick Keane! Hey guys. So in the early years of my life, that's it. Oh, man.
I have I have some of you guys aren't laughing. It's not easy, you know? Cool, you guys are cool with that. Okay. Oh, hey, guys. Hey, guys. I'm clearly disturbed. There's, that's it. Give another passage one more time.
Sure. Yeah.
Hell yeah. And the, that's it.
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouthhorn.
With Karen and Chris.